ever more excited to be at church than when worship is like on fire. Man, I was like jumping around like they're like a crazy person. It was so, so good. And I love seeing all the new faces up here. Welcome. I know it's Labor Day weekend. We're glad that you're here. It's going to be a great weekend to be out and have an extra day. Everybody at our house is like, feels like vacation again, right? Yesterday I said, does anybody have homework? And they're like, can you not talk about that? It's like an extra day. So we're glad that you're here today. Thank you for coming today. I want to talk to you a little bit today about maybe what the last song was referring to about breakthroughs. So it's going to be, if you're ready to hear from God today, I'm telling you, I got just a verse. Just a verse. Just three verses is all we need to hear from God. We don't have to even have an hour-long discussion about this because God is about to bring it today. Are you ready for a breakthrough? Are you ready? All right, so have you ever had a reoccurring dream that you were being chased or followed? Does anybody ever have this? Like someone's chasing you, and you like three nights later you have it again. I hate nightmares. I am a complete scaredy cat. Everybody knows that about me. Everybody in my house knows that about me. They like to jump out and scare me. I get mad. I don't even have a nice reaction, like, oh, real funny. I get like, go to your room, leave me alone. I get mad. I hate to be scared. And I hate to have bad dreams. So I want to set up this clip for you. Tim has taken a break today. His voice has been just real raspy and awful. He had a terrible sinus infection this week. So he's taking a break. So we thought we'd just continue at the movies one more week because it's been an incredible series this summer, hasn't it? My personal favorite at the movies has been amazing this summer. So this is a clip from Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. You don't have to be a Lord of the Rings fan to get this. Who is a Lord of the Rings fan in here? Can I see? Really not very many, like 20%. Well, we've been watching these since the first one came out in 2001. Can you believe it's been that long? Let that sink in for a minute. 17 years ago, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring came out. And this scene is specifically pretty scary because Gandalf and this little band of hobbits that they're on this mission to Mordor, right? They've gone along pretty easily up until this point. They haven't really encountered anything too scary until they get to this bridge of Khazad Dûm. I said that correctly. I had to practice a few times. And they meet this monster beast that's like all fire and darkness. So let's watch the clip. Gandalf the White Wizard. He comes back and he takes care of it all by the end of the series. Don't worry. So when I first watched this years ago, Jordan was like 5, Titus was probably 3. You know, we watched it, Tim, we're all like, I'm watching it behind like, you know what, you get sucked into a movie and you're like, how are they going to get out of this? Like, there's no way they can outrun that guy. There's no logical, plausible solution to this. There's no way. And I remember just being terrified. And I wonder in here today, I thought this might set up a good premise for us, is there anything in your life that you feel like you're running from that you just can never, ever outrun it? And it's just always on your back. And so today I thought we might ask ourselves that question as we look at this clip. And I want us to really explore three different questions that we're going to ask ourselves. If you're a C personality today, there's going to be a lot of lists today. You're going to have 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. If I can check that list off, I got this. All right, so three major questions, and then we're going to dive into those with some sub things. Number one is, how do I take a stand? How do I stand like that guy did and say, you shall not pass? How do I take a stand? Number two is, how do I break down barriers? And then the last one we're going to ask is, what method do I need to use to master the monsters? Right? We all got monsters, correct? Okay, so let's look at our text today, 2 Corinthians 10. It's 3-5 is the full text. We're going to start just reading 3 and 4. Here it goes. Now, this is a verse that I love, this passage, and I refer to it a lot in my personal life and just talking to different women and even my kids in our home. We've talked about this so many times. Let's read it. For though we live as human beings, we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. We're going to stop right there. All right, so put verse 3 back up. So the first question is, how do I take a stand? Now, I was remembering, I heard this term a lot when I was a teenager. Like, take a stand. Take a stand for truth. Take a stand for what you believe in. Take a stand against bad people. Take a stand, take a stand, take a stand. Do y'all hear that a lot? Like, take a stand. Always people are talking about them. You're like, coaches, teachers, pastors, small group leaders. And then we get to be adults and we kind of don't talk about that phrase anymore, about taking a stand. But isn't it just as difficult, peer pressure, as an adult? Can you affirm that for the teenagers in the room? That peer pressure doesn't get easier as an adult. It just looks differently, right? Maybe the details are different, but it's really the same concept. So we all need that stamina and that grit to take a stand when something is coming against us. So how do we take a stand? So I'm going to give you three things underneath this that I think will be helpful. So when I read verse 3, before we get there, what does it say? It says that we're humans walking around in a human physical world, but the weapons that are available to us aren't human. Well, that's kind of weird, right? It reminded me of a verse in Ephesians 6, 12. And Ephesians 6, 12 says that our struggle, our battle, our war is not against flesh and blood, but it's against all these other forces that we can't see. So if the war, if the struggle, if the battle is not even human, then of course it makes sense that the weapons we need would be inhuman, right? They would be superhuman, if you will. There would be some kind of spiritual aspect to it. So let's look at three practical things. We're going to get through this first one quick because we got a lot more. And they did 4 songs instead of 3, and they started late, so they took up my time. I got to talk fast. You better listen quick. We got a lot to get through. 3 things. First of all, I must change what I'm working with. Got to change what you're working with if you want to take a stand. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. If I keep doing what I've been doing, we've all heard it, right? If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get the same results you've always been getting. So if you decide that you want something to change, then you got to change what you're working with. If you decide this is the year you're going to save money. Does anybody ever in January start out like that? This year, we're going to save money. We're going to have money in the bank at the end of this year. Well, if you don't ever change spending habits, right? If you don't cut out like eating out a couple times a week, or you don't cut out like extra things that you do, or you don't make some adjustments to your spending, first of all, that's one area that you could change. But if you don't change that, you're probably not going to save a lot. Or if you don't forecast, if you don't big picture, if you don't cut out certain things, so you got to change something. Let's say, this is the year I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do it this year. Anybody in January ever start out like that? New Year's resolutions? This is the year. In December, I'm going to have a 6-pack. Anybody ever say that to yourself? Then, you know, I'll just start next week. If anybody knows John Garms, every time you're sitting down with him to dinner, you know what he says? Oh, this is my last meal. I'm starting tomorrow. Every time. And the first few times I heard this, I believed him. And I'd be like, oh, what diet are you starting tomorrow? And he would just like make something up. I don't know. But if you're always saying tomorrow, 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 next week, oh, I'm going to hit the gym next week. I'm going to hit the gym next week. But if you don't ever decide to take a step, nothing will ever change, right? Have we learned that in life yet? And you think, man, I want that. I'd like to have that. But if you don't ever change what you're working with, it's not going to happen. Second thing under how to take a stand is you need the right weapons. That's pretty clear here. Listen to scripture. You need the right weapons. Let me just say it simply, and we're going to move on. You would not bring a knife to a gunfight, right? You got to have the right weapons. We're going to explore that more in a minute. Just tuck that away. Number 3, I need something from above to help me below. I need something from above to help me below. Look at your neighbor and say, listen, you need help. Okay, you need some help. I got to have something to help me, because there is no way to outrun that guy. If he represents all the things, there is no way we can do that without some wizard standing in the way and saying, no, 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 right? Something creating some help for us somewhere. So I need help. We got to admit that we need help. So taking a stand requires some action on our part. We can't just sit in the same place every day and expect to be able to magically take a stand one day, all right? So we got to be able to stand. Now, the next thing we're going to explore, remember, our second thing is how to break down the barriers. So let's look at verse 4 and 5. Now let's put 4 and 5 together. So we know about our weapons. Let's start in verse 4. Let's review that. For the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but they're made powerful by God for tearing down. Here we go. This is the rest of our sermon. Tearing down strongholds. We tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. There is so much in this. There's no way we have time to explore it all today. We could do an entire like weekend retreat on these three verses. So we're just going to choose a few things. Breaking down the barriers. So there's three things listed in here really clearly that speak directly to us. We're going to break those apart. Number one, there's three barriers. Number one is strongholds. Strongholds. You see that listed? That we have to tear down strongholds. That God is going to make the weapons he's going to give us powerful enough to have the ability to break down, to tear down the strongholds. So what is a stronghold? A stronghold means fortress. So there are fortresses that we've built up that prevent us from freedom. So strongholds are fortresses that exist in our lives, in our mindset, inside of us, in our hearts, in our thinking, that prevent us from experiencing freedom. If you were here this summer at all with Sisterhood, we explored the entire book of Galatians over a 7-week process, and Galatians is all about freedom. Galatians 5:1 sums it all up. Why does God offer us freedom? For the express purpose of freedom. That's it. You want it? Let's get it. I'm going to give it to you. Freedom, he says, is available to all, but these fortresses and strongholds prevent us from experiencing that. So how is a stronghold built? How's a fortress built? Brick by brick by brick. How long does it take to build a fortress? How long does it take to build a stronghold? Days, months, weeks, maybe years for some of us, some of the things. You know, this is kind of abstract, but I'm asking you to sort of like, I want you to be actively self-reflecting while we're talking, while you're hearing me say these things, like, what could that mean for me? Maybe mine looks different from the person next to me, but they're built one little brick, one little mortar at a time, and it takes a long time sometimes to build these things up. Now, fortresses are built to withstand what? They're built to withstand all kinds of stuff, all the elements, storms that come, tornadoes, hurricanes, armies, fire. They're built to withstand all kinds of things that normally would be destructive to most things that exist, right? But fortresses, no, no, no. They're made in a special way to be sure that they're going to stand up against things. So how are we to come at this? According to this passage, it tells us physically it can't be done. You see that? Physically, you can't just come at this with the weapons that you know about and fight this thing. So for instance, our skills or our abilities. Like, you can't jump high enough to get over that wall, right? You can't think strategically enough to figure out smart how to take this thing down, how to make sure that it's not up. You can't be wise enough to find like the crack in the mortar, to find the weak spot to bring it down. You don't have that ability. It can't be done physically. So this is an issue that we have to figure out how to work around. It's a barrier in our lives. Second thing is arguments. Look at that listed. Arguments. What do you think that is? Anybody ever argue with yourself? We all do it. We all do it, right? Arguments. I would say arguments would also mean like thought processes, mindsets, things that you already kind of have like a preconceived notion about, like you're kind of set. Anybody agree that the older we get, the more set in those mindsets we become? Anybody? Right? So it's important that we remain like soft and pliable, because maybe at 60, God is going to radically change the mindset that we thought we had figured out for years. But if we're not soft and if we're not willing to be teachable, we'll never get it. I don't want to be that person. And I am naturally a stubborn person. Is anybody a willing participant to say, me too, Carrie? Me too. Stubbornness is bad stuff, bad stuff. So these us stubborn people, we're going to struggle with this one a little more because we think we've already kind of figured that out. We got that, well, you know, bless her heart. She just hasn't figured that out yet. So sweet. She's so sweet. Man, she's got a long way to go. Arguments, mindsets, thought processes that we have. Now, this will affect what we think about everything, right? It's kind of the lens from which we view the rest of the world. And a lot of us in here would say, like, yeah, I don't have to dig far to go, I got some destructive thought patterns. And what I've learned in my 42 years is that there's some things I cannot let in. There are some thoughts that come in my brain that you're like, where did that come from? It's terrible. You want to just throw it out. And thank God people can't read thoughts, right? Like, for instance, let's go through a couple of scenarios. We're going to do a guy and a girl. Male, female, any age will work. It does not matter. Female. Does anybody in here relate to this? You walk in a restaurant, scrolling social media, see a group of people getting together for dinner. You weren't invited. You know all of them. They're all your friends. You've been at dinners with them before. Why didn't they invite me? Maybe hurt first. If you're in person, you got to like muster up the composure to be like, hi, oh, so good to see you. Oh, y'all having a good dinner? That's so nice. I'm just going to sit over here by myself. Thanks for the invite. Yeah, you got to try not to be passive aggressive. You don't want to give off that you're offended. You wouldn't want them to think that, right? If you're on social media now, we can all be brave behind the computer screen. I mean, we say lots of things back there because there's nobody to tell us to stop. Anybody done that yet? Listen, the whole world is reading it. In case you don't know, we can all see it, okay? So you walk in and these thoughts start, right? What happens, spiderweb? It's like your mind is like Google. You just type in one thing and then all these options come up. You click on an option thought and then a whole new set of options comes up and your mind just goes crazy, right? Well, they must not like me. I must not fit in with them. Maybe I don't look like them. Maybe I'm not as cool as them. Maybe they think I'm annoying. Maybe they don't like my husband. Maybe they don't like my kids. Maybe I was lame the last time we hung out. Oh, man. Ugh. Well, if they don't like me, I don't think I want to be around them. Because now I'm just going to question myself the whole time. I'm just going to like be second guessing. So I'm going to make sure I don't invite them to my next party because they didn't invite me. And I mean, really, why do you want to be around people that don't even want to be around you in the first place? So we'll just go ahead and knock that off. Well, all of a sudden, what happened? These women happened to see each other and got together for dinner. They weren't even thinking about you. Why are you making it about you? Why don't we do that, right? And then suddenly you have all of these preconceived ideas about this group of 6-7 women, and they have no idea. You're now holding them to this argument that you've created, this thought process, that they had nothing to do. They're innocent. And now you put them on trial and created a whole argument against them in your mind that you yourself are like both lawyers and the judge and the jury, right? Man, that's dangerous. All right, guys, what about this? You're in like competition of some sort. Sales pitch. Best salesman gets the gig, gets the account. You're in a game, fighting for the starting position. Or maybe just, you know, trying to do good in a pickup game. I don't know. But let's say not your best day. You don't get the account. You don't make the shot. You don't make the touchdown. You don't make the block, whatever it is. You can't javelin high enough, whatever. Competition happens. And what happens in your mind? Man, suck. Sorry. I tell my little ones not to say that. Make sure Silas is upstairs today, that 10-year-old. Man. That guy is so much better than me. There's no way that I will ever be as cool as that dude. I mean, look at him. He's all chiseled. He gets a shot every time. I mean, he doesn't even have to work for it. He just gets out there and makes it, or he just gets the account. He out-pitches everybody every single time. He's so good with all the bosses. He schmoozes better than me. And then suddenly you start going down like, look at his car, look at his house, look at his wife, look at his body, look at all the things. And then you're in a trap of comparison. And even as a man, you're caught in this trap of comparison. This is a monster, right? This is for men or women. This is a monster This is a fiery demon caught in comparison, and you can't get out. And suddenly, you've got this construct of comparison that you are way down here and everyone else is up here. And what happens when you don't believe in yourself when it's go time? You're gonna stink, right? You gotta have some kind of belief in yourself. So arguments, thoughts, mindsets set in, those are just two. There's a million more that we could talk about. Now let's talk about obstacles, so sorry. Obstacles is the third one. What's interesting about this one is the adjectives used to describe it. It doesn't just say obstacles. Look there, I think it is verse 5. It says arrogant obstacles. Arrogant obstacles. Man, what do you think that might be? An obstacle is something that would like be in my way, right? Would like trip me up on my way to wherever, on the journey, on the road that I'm on. So an obstacle is going to be in the way, and I have to figure out a way over it. So let's think about this when it comes to our inner self, right? What's an obstacle? There's so many of these, there's no way to explore them. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. Has anybody ever thought that? This is harder than I thought it was going to be. Let me start weighing out the options of just being done, right? I mean, would it hurt anyone if I just was done? What's the big deal? What if I just say, forget it? It's just too hard. It's too much work. It's going to take so long. I remember when Tim and I were first starting Genesis Metro, and we were going through all these different like church planter trainings. You know they have those? They like teach people how to plant. We didn't know what we were doing. Thank God we had them. So I remember that we're sitting in this meeting about personalities. This is where the like genesis of DISC started for us, if you will. Did you catch that pun? All right, so this is where it started. I remember Tim sitting at this table and realizing this idea about starting a church, this is probably 2003, 4, I don't know, somewhere in there, babe. And I remember the realization that this was going to take forever. This is going to, because I think we kind of moved here like, well, we'll start a church. That's a good idea. Why can't you do that? Who wants to come to your church when Chuck Swindoll's down the road, right? I mean, we all want to listen to that guy. He's amazing. So I remember the realization that this is going to take forever. This is going to take the rest of our lives, basically. Do we have that inside of us? God, is that what you're asking? It was like this discussion we had to have. Is this it? Yep, this is it. Hard work. Now, adults in here that have ever worked for anything, isn't it great and fulfilling when you can work hard at something for years and finally see the payoff somewhere down the road, right? I'm standing backstage during worship. I'm hearing these young girls lead songs and tears are just rolling down my face. You know why? Because it used to be just a couple of us that could lead songs. And what God is doing is changing the next generation by drawing their hearts into worship and allowing them the chance to stand up here and worship in front of the entire community. That's growth. And it's hard work, right? Because if we hadn't have made it through a lot of obstacles along the way, and if we hadn't decided to put the hard work in, who knows if they would have had that opportunity. And that's what God has put into us. So I ask you, are you shrinking back from the hard work? When it gets hard, do you just want to quit? Or have you learned already that pain and sacrifice are part of the process, right? It's like a buy-in. You got to put something in. You got to have skin in the game. And when the pressure comes in the midst of all that difficulty, that has to turn into motivation and not me be the defeater in the issue. We have to know that hard work is part of it. One more example of an obstacle might be disappointment. Anybody ever let disappointment defeat you or derail you? Are you a disappointment dweller, so to speak? Like you just kind of dwell, you just get comfortable and you sit down in the midst of that. Like, well, I guess it's not going to work out. One little thing goes wrong. If you like a plan, if you like structure, you like everything to work out just like we all talked about, and then one thing doesn't happen, step 4 goes awry, and you're like, that's it. Nope, can't, not doing it. What if you were meant to push past step 4 because there's a lot to learn in step 5? But disappointment will take over our mindset, and suddenly it becomes an obstacle preventing us from ever going where God intended for us to go. Or maybe preventing a relationship to flourish that God intended to use to refine you in some way. Do you see what we do? We let all these obstacles come up. And I would ask you to start asking yourself, like I did earlier, self-reflecting, what is your obstacle? I don't know what it is. It might be bitterness. It might be lust. It might be fear. It might be depression. It might be all kinds of things. That's what I mean. There's a myriad of things that could be defined by a stronghold, argument, or obstacle. And if you haven't defined what yours is, I would say you're not ready to fight. And it takes a fighting spirit to work through this life the way God intended for us to work through it. We have to pick up the weapons that God is bringing. Now, let's get to the good stuff. Last one. I said there was three questions. We've answered two. How do I take a stand? How do I break down barriers? What is my method to master these monsters? What is my method going to be to master these monsters? Now, look at verse 5. All right. Taking down strongholds, arguments, obstacles. All of those things, anything, he's trying to name them all, anything, look, that is raised up against the knowledge of God, okay? Anything that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, which is anything that's not true. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then what? We have to take every thought captive to make it obey Christ. Every thought captive. This is where the good stuff is. How do we make it obey Christ? That's how we win. So there's the win, right? How do we master the monsters? We have to make it obey Christ. Well, that sounds easy. Check. Let's do that. Okay. Done. We can go home, right? Everybody feel like, I need something practical in my hand. I don't know what you're talking about. How do we do that? Let's talk about how we do that. So how do we master the monsters? I got three things for you. First of all, we have to learn to walk a little differently. Do you guys see these shoes in the back? You may not be able to see them. Do you see these? Okay, ladies, let me just say no. Don't you like these? Anybody like these shoes? Well, after this, you can have them because I haven't worn them in about 6 years. I want to show you what it's like to walk in these shoes. Anybody say, listen, I don't care if it hurts, fashion over comfort. Anyone? I can't even hardly get these things on anymore. They were a gift. Thank goodness I did not buy them. Tim didn't waste money. They'll be back there like, she doesn't wear them. How many pairs of shoes does she have that she doesn't wear? I know how his mind works. Well, watch how clunky it is to walk in. Like, I literally have to say to myself, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall, the whole time, right? So it's like, any girls have shoes like this? Listen, girls, I'm gonna give you some advice, okay? I love going to middle school awards banquets. All, you already know, the girls are so dressed up and pretty. They have the tallest shoes on that they could find at the mall. And they're all walking like this. And they're like, they've called their name. They're like, I'm coming. Just trying not to fall in front of all my friends. Maybe short little skirt on. Oh, whoops. Oh, huh. Yeah, I'm like, oh. Where's the dress code people? Because they're not here tonight. Listen, don't wear, look, this is the thing. You got to learn to walk differently. This is number one under that. You got to learn to walk differently. You can't. I stopped wearing these because I can't walk in them. You know what I mean? Like, I can't walk. I can't do anything. So I've now opted for the practical flat shoe. I don't care that I'm 5'2", and I can't. I mean, backstage, I'm having a discussion with the guys that I can't use that podium because it basically comes up to my neck, and then the computer covers my face. I need the shortest podium we have because I'm not wearing those anymore. I mean, you know what I mean? If you want them, you can have them after second service. I'm not kidding. Don't be a middle school girl. Not going to let you have them. You need to go find some practical shoes, walk across the stage. You got to learn to walk differently than you have before. How do you make them obey Christ? You have to learn how to walk differently. Number two under that is you got to learn to worship. There's so many verses that talk to us about the heart of worship, putting ourselves under the submission of God. How many times do Tim and I hear like, well, I just get there for the preaching. I'm not really a music kind of person, so I'm fine. What time does preaching start? That's what time I'll get there. Here's the thing about that. What I love about, one of the things I love about my husband is he can't, Tim, I love you, can't sing a lick. I mean, like, can't sing. And he knows it, right? He knows it, but he loves to sing and he loves to worship. If you're ever up here and you, I mean, he is loud. He's not in a microphone. He is so off because he's making a joyful noise that's reaching the heavens because he loves to worship. But sometimes, even when we don't believe it ourselves, it's okay for us to stand and sing. I know a breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and he won't stop now. That's Tim. Tim was singing. I was lip syncing. Here's the thing about that. Sometimes you have to sing it so much until you believe it. Sometimes you have to pray it, those words, so much, pray his word that you start to believe that it's going to come through, that you start to pray it, say it, praise it out loud, worship. If music's not your thing, that's okay. God is your thing. And that's the way sometimes he communicates to your heart in a way that only you will understand. There's this beautiful intimacy when we allow ourselves to be a worshiper at the feet of Jesus. Third thing under this, how do we make them obey? How do we do that? Is we have to take his word above everything else. His word above my will, his word above my ways, his word above everybody else's voice. His word is key. It's the only way. So the weapons we fight with are what? They're not physical, they're spiritual. It's the word, it's worship, it's prayer. Those are the weapons we fight with. That seems simple and easy. Did you think that would be the answer? Like, how many times have we heard this thing, right? How many of us are missing an element in our lives that would cause us to be able, this method would be able to master all these monsters that we have, all these obstacles, strongholds, arguments, and we could literally walk around in victory, in like freedom, in confidence that God is working. How many of us have missed that? So when the enemies come, the band can be getting ready. When the enemies come, and they will, right? When they're pursuing us, what is your answer going to be? And I wonder if we ask ourselves for a minute, how hard does the enemy have to work in your life? Have you made it so easy for him to come and speak and whisper and guide that he just hands you the brick and you just put it on the next open spot, slap some mortar on there, put the next one on? Is it that easy? Is it possible? We've so missed it that we've made it so easy for him to do the work he's planned for us. Once we decide that God's word, that worshiping him, that asking and praying and prayer is a submission thing, and once we decide that that exchange is our method, that's when we're going to see breakthrough. But as long as we go about our week and we come in here and we get all filled up on Sundays and we kind of go out and kind of do our thing, and maybe, like, you know, we get a little like Bible app verse on Thursday and feel really good about that, but there's got to be some more. You can feel good about where you are, but is God being able to work through all the obstacles and strongholds and arguments that are in you? Because once we have that, that's when we're going to start defeating the arguments. We're going to overcome all those obstacles, right? We're going to shut down all the strongholds. We're going to break down the barriers. And then you're going to be able to stand and you're able to say, oh, you shall not pass. You shall not pass into my marriage. Because nothing is more important than my spouse. You shall not pass into my mental health. You shall not have that ground. Because I'm going to focus on what is true about God. You cannot have, you shall not have what I need to be modeling for my kids. You can't have that part of me. They need to see consistency, because inconsistency hurts your credibility. And then you got nothing when it comes to influence and leadership in your own home. What are we going to do when we get to those places where the enemy's voice is loud? or we feel disappointed or defeated, we have to start saying out loud, what are God's promises? I am with you. I run to the brokenhearted and I cast all of those cares aside. I will scoop you up in the midst of your hurt and pain, and I will make sure that you know there is a plan. I am here today and tomorrow, and when you wake up tomorrow morning, guess what? My mercies are brand new, and we're going to start all the way over. I can create a clean slate for you. I can make a way for you to be stronger than you ever thought possible. I can do things like I say in Ephesians 3:20, which is more than you've ever thought of or imagined, and I will make it better than anything you can put your hand to. Those are the kind of promises that you start saying out loud, because God's word is true. There is nothing in it. There is nothing in it that doesn't work. We're the ones that mess up the process. So today, what we're going to focus on is we're going to stand in the midst of all of these obstacles we've created. We're going to stand in the midst of this. We're going to say, you shall not pass. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you that you speak to us in such diligent ways in just three small verses, God. I pray that we would ever be looking for you to break through all the barriers that we've constructed. And Lord, today would be a new day. As we start out on this first Sunday in September, we've got the entire school year ahead of us, Lord, and this would be a year of change in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Let's worship.